I imagine some people are tuning in for this one. Best Hawkeye podcast in the world. We got Spencer Petras to sit down with us. Awesome episode. Loved getting to have extended time with this guy. There's no big intro to this one. We kind of started talking, and so I faded in the conversation. Starts 30 seconds after we started talking. I think you guys are going to really enjoy getting to know Spencer a little bit more. Awesome dude. Unique story. Let's have a day. Let's go. With meeting Coach Wallace and all this stuff. All right, this is kind of like Joe Rogan-esque. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. Another episode today, a big one, one that I've been really excited to do for 4 years now. Gosh, Spence, you took over in 2020, right, as a starter?
Yes.
What a weird year, too, to kind of experience that. You step into that role, Nate Stanley finishes up, and I'd love to hear all the stuff you learned from Nate as you were on the bench for 2 years before him. Or after him, COVID hits and you're the guy. I'm really curious to know sort of a unique moment in everybody's college career that was an athlete. I mean, and really the world, but how did that affect you coming in and being like, okay, I'm the head of this offense now, and the leadership, not being able to be with the guys as much, not being able to be in the building as much. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I mean, it was unique for everyone, obviously. But I mean, the beautiful part of it, I guess, like from a leadership and like team bonding standpoint, is that we did get the whole winter phase of the strength conditioning. Like we just didn't come back from spring break. So, like we had the Hawkeye Championship, like I was a Hawkeye Championship captain. Like we had all of that stuff going. So we had a really good foundation in place, which I think like allowed us to have a successful year. Like just because I think we were built better than most teams for something like that, like to be able to like drop ship supplements and get workout plans out there and like get, you know, like Doyle and his staff were like all over, like, you know, setting up like weight rooms in guys' garages and like sending people kettlebells and all that. So like we did our best when it first hit. Obviously we didn't have spring ball, but you know, we had a good amount of guys like in Iowa City, so we were able to throw routes and like do, you know, as much as we could. Honestly, the hardest thing of that year was the summer, because that was when we were back, but the contact tracing stuff was crazy. Like I think of the summer program 7 weeks, and I think I was quarantined for 5 of the 7 weeks without ever getting COVID. Oh, and like that wasn't like a crazy like story. Like that was, there's a lot of guys like that. Like if, cause really like, especially right, like skill positions, if you're interacting with a ball, like that was something that connected people for contact tracing. Or,
oh my God.
Like if a athletic trainer like saw you in the indoor with someone, even if you weren't like up close, like that close with them, and they popped, like, boom, that's 2 weeks right there. And that was the hardest part, because it was just like, impossible to get a rhythm going.
So my brother was on the squad at that time. I'm sure you remember. And I remember him talking about that, where they had gotten to the time where they finally canceled the season for the Big Ten. And there was like a 2 week limbo period. I'm not sure how long it took for them to then re up and be like, oh, actually we're going to play. But right about the time you guys were like getting ready for camp, I remember him telling me like, yeah, dude, I'm like one of like six people who haven't been had to quarantine all summer. Like there was like basically 95% of the team at one point was like, yeah, you're done for 3 to 5 to 10 days.
It was a 14 day back then. It was 14 day minimum. And that you had to test negative also. So like some guys, if you were like, let's say you got quarantined, this didn't happen to me, but like it happened to some guys, if you got quarantined but were asymptomatic and then got tested like before you came back, boom, you test positive. Now it's like, it was longer back then too. It might've been like 3 or 4 weeks before, if you got COVID, before you could come back fully. So yeah, that was definitely like that was just like a pain in the ass to try and
Was
have
there
any sort of normal off season.
was there ever a moment where you're like, personally, you're sitting there and you're like, why, sort of a more of a philosophical grand scheme of things, you're like, why did this have to happen during my career? Like, did you ever ask yourself that?
Yeah, for sure. But then I think I like once you start thinking about like high schoolers, especially those that like if you're like a junior or senior, I think in 2020, like that's in high school, like that's even worse because like now, like not only was some of like the best memories you have of high school like ruined, but the beginning of college is ruined.
Yeah.
Not ruined, but just so different. Like
That was my senior
I think
year.
you're talking to one right here.
Cause like I don't know. If you don't get to play like in California, right? They played like a four or five game like spring high school football season. They obviously didn't get that's like not even including, that would have been in 2021. And
Spring
then
football. Wow.
yeah, and then like prom, like all that, like graduation, all that stuff on top of like you get to college and you can't like go out and meet people. Like there's nothing normal. Like that would be harder than
I think a lot of people take that for granted too, because what a monumental time in your life to develop as like a young adult, right?
Oh yeah,
Like
totally.
just social skills and like Grant here, I feel like we've kind of joked on him. He's our, I don't know if you know Grant or you ever listened to any episode over the last year. Grant's our student intern, and he
Oh, cool.
I think he had like, Grant, what do you have, like 3 years of online school basically? Like,
Oh, I mean, yeah, well, my whole first year, like I was just like I was at home my entire fall semester of college, the first one. And then I actually got to go. But I was like the super spreader. Day one, I got like 28 other dudes, because we all went out like first day,
whoa
and
there.
then I got
Right.
like 28 people right away, COVID. So I shut down like half the school first
That's
day.
tough. You're the reason we had no fans in 2020.
Yeah, it's
It's on me.
it's
Sorry,
definitely
guys.
Grant's fault.
Yeah.
Kind of buried the lead there. We jumped right in, but we are recording this on Super Bowl Sunday. We kind of, before you jumped in, Spencer, and then we had 15 minutes of technical issues. We're like, maybe Spencer's a 49ers fan. Like, could be cheering today. Or do you have a team? Or
Dude, I'm like pretty fair weather, honestly. Like I was as a kid.
for
But
the
I think
49ers?
now, yeah,
Okay.
for the Niners. But like now I feel like I like the two teams I mostly cheer for, like I'll cheer for the Ravens a lot because like, Lindy's one of my best friends. And then the Lions just because of like, I like the connection I have with Goff, but then also like Sam and Jack and I don't know. I don't know if you feel the same way, Kloof, but like you just kind of cheer for like the guys you played with at this point,
Exactly.
like more than the teams.
People ask me all the time, and I'm like, I cheer for my friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Josie's playing, I just want him to get like tackles, interceptions, and
Yeah.
obviously George. So this weekend's easy because I don't think there is anybody. I'm pretty sure there's no Hawkeye on the Chiefs. So
No, not anymore.
and George was obviously closer to my group in college. So 49ers fan today. But yeah, I don't really have a team. I mean, I like the Rams when they were in St. Louis when I was younger.
Right.
But it was more of like I liked Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner and those guys.
Right.
The Lions for you is kind of a cool connection, because how close are you with Goff? Obviously, you coming out of high school, the big thing was like, this guy broke all of Jared Goff's records. Like that was, I feel like you had to come out of that shadow. It was like it's like, geez, like, can we just make him his own person? Is he? But that's like kind of the punchline of one of your big stats coming out. So how close are you with him?
I wouldn't say we're like super close. Like I missed him by 2 or 3 years, I think.
Okay.
But like when, I mean, he was at Cal when I was at, when I was in high school. And then, he's always like I could, always text him if I needed something or like
Sure.
any questions or anything like that. But, I never played with him and never, I mean, he would come back when he was at Cal and like, especially when he was in LA, like he would come back at times and like he used to do camps at our high school.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean it's not like we're I probably haven't texted him in I don't know, 1 year, 2 years. I don't know. But if I needed to, like he's a
You
great
know,
guy.
yeah, he knows who you are.
Yeah, like he'd respond. But yeah, not actually no, I texted him when they drafted Sam. And I think Jack actually.
And you were like,
So
hey,
yeah.
good pick.
Yeah, I was like, dude, this like, I mean, I never I was on the team with Hawk for a year. Never played with him, but I never was on the field with him. But I was just saying, like, I, from a one man's opinion, like, this dude is every, just as talented as anyone like I've ever seen. Like, and I played with Hawk, like, it's gonna be a great pick. Like, stuff like that. Like, nothing crazy.
What makes Sam great?
Dude, he's like a quarterback's best friend. Like, from a he understands coverage, I think, like a quarterback, like, not on the board type stuff, but just I think he just like naturally feels he feels holes in zone and feels like how to put pressure on zone defenders better than anyone I've ever been around. And like he uses his physicality to like to win in those areas. And like man coverage is not even, I mean, that's it's like not fair at that point, right? Because he's so fast and so smooth with his routes and super physical. Like, he's not the strongest guy in the world, but super physical at the top of the route, that kind of thing. And I think his ability to make contested catches is like up there with anyone. Like, I used to joke with him because, like, I feel like he'd, every like 3 or 4 games, he'd drop like a open, like he'd be wide open. I'd throw him a good ball and then he'd drop it. And then like that same game, he would be draped by like two dudes. I would throw the like hardest and worst throw I threw all day and he would like somehow catch it.
Snag it.
Yeah, like just stuff like that. But like, yeah, the thing, like the unique part, I think, is just his ability against like zone. Like, he just naturally feels windows and like just soft spots and stuff like that.
I would never describe it that way because I'm dumb and not a quarterback, but watching him as for like a fan's perspective, the way I describe Sam and a lot of the other tight ends that we've had, but like they're just, it's almost like they just have like this it factor. It's like they
Yeah.
just have, they just, it's that feel. It's like that smoothness of like they just know the right spot at the right time.
For sure. Like, I think the way that they were taught, like, and the way they're still taught with Coach Hodge, but like with Brian, like he would teach them at like such a detailed level, like not as much about like, okay, it's cover two, like this outside backer, like he has the weak hook, right? Like, that's not what he'd be saying, but more so like, let's look at this coverage, right? Like, if I'm the weak hook linebacker, like I'm terrified of allowing an inside release because it's cover two, right? The safeties have all of that half of the field. So the outside backers can't allow an inside release. The corners can't allow an outside release. Here's how you should use that to your advantage on this route, because if you're running an outbreaker, if you attack him inside, he's going to over, stuff like that. Like,
Careful there. A lot of fans think they know what
oh
they're doing.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Might get to that later. You're making Brian sound pretty smart. I don't know. Oh, I think it's some
Yeah, no,
dangerous
you're
territory there. I mean, bring it up in a second, but I want to go back to like, do you remember the first time you ever threw a football? Like, take me back to what is this? What'd you say, Grant? San Rafael, California, or what is
Yeah.
this?
Yeah.
Like, take me back. When Spencer Petras first get the football in his hand?
Dude, like, I don't know, like elementary school, like
500 on
playground.
the playground.
Yeah. Yeah, I was always like the biggest kid and could always throw it like
Were
the
you always
best.
tall?
So yeah. Yep, always tall.
Are your parents tall?
I mean, my mom's like 5'7", my dad's probably 6 foot, six
Okay.
one.
I know 5'7" is like really tall, actually. A lot of people say that that's pretty tall.
Yeah. Well, like my grandfather on my mom's side was like 6'2", but
Okay, so no real crazy height.
my grandmother was 4'11". So like,
Oh, love
what?
it.
I just got lucky a
And
little
you're
bit.
what, 6'5"?
Yeah, 6'5".
Yeah, must be nice.
Drank my milk. It's good.
Yeah. So 500 on the playground, you're the tallest kid. When did you, was it like 6th, 7th grade football? You start to realize, like, oh, I can spin this thing better than most kids.
Yeah, I mean, I started playing like flag football probably in like 4th or 5th grade.
Okay.
And like, yeah, I was really good. And then didn't play tackle football till 8th grade. And that
Really?
8th grade year was, well, yeah, I was really into soccer growing up.
Really?
And
Wow.
when, like, I don't know, like my parents were not fired up about me playing tackle football, like
Hey,
until,
I understand. I got a little baby girl now, and I'm like thinking about if I have a boy, and I'm like, I'm watching these games, and I'm like, dude,
100%.
I don't know.
Well, and like, I mean, I think it's John Madden has like a quote of like, you can learn in 2 weeks, like your first 2 weeks of high school, like you can learn everything you would have if you played, which is really true. Like, especially, I wasn't going to be a like an offensive lineman. Like, I was never going to be that strong. So like, as long as I know how to throw the ball, like, all good. But yeah, so like when I got to like 8th grade freshman year, like I had like a really big arm, but I just had no idea like how to like ever take anything off. Like kind of like the young guy like strong arm syndrome, like where you just every like hitch ball, every flat ball is like a million miles an hour. So like 8th grade was rough. Unless we were throwing like a streak.
Just
And
a
then
go route, baby. Just run.
like literally, I think like we probably called it like 15 times a game, my 8th grade year, because it's all we could do.
That's all. Receivers were dead tired.
No, like really, like it was interesting. I think we were like 1-10. It was not good.
And then when did you take over at the high school level? You played Marin Catholic. Is
Yeah,
this a how
Marin
big is
Catholic.
Marin Catholic? How big of a school is that? What's your graduating class?
I think my graduating class is like 175.
Oh, so it's
So
not super small.
no, it's small like for our area. But like private Catholics, so like,
Right.
we were always pretty good athletics. So
Recruiting
yeah,
people, you know.
no, we did not. That I know we're not Dowling. We're not. I know
Oh
there's
yeah,
beef. There's beef in
let's
this
make this
state.
the Shots at Dowling podcast. Who can we crap on? Who's still from Dowling on the team? Is there any?
Oh, dude, I have no idea.
There used to be like seven dudes from
Didn't
Dowling on
tell
the
you.
team at this
Yeah, like
one time.
Wags,
Yeah,
Kerner,
Wagner,
a lot of guys.
Kerner, all them these Catholic
Oh,
school kids.
Gavin Williams is gone too. I don't know. But yeah, so I started playing my junior year on varsity. Like that was my
Okay.
first year starting on varsity. My freshman year, I was on the freshman team. Was actually the third string quarterback on the freshman team. Played D end. Broke my arm second game. So that was a tough year.
Your career as Myles Garrett ended quickly.
I actually had like 2 sacks in the first, I think, game in a quarter. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
I had a gnarly, gnarly spin move. But yeah, then like sophomore year, played JV and then junior year, varsity.
Love that. Love
Yeah.
that. Obviously, it was successful. When did the recruitment pick up?
Like February or March after my junior year. Yeah. So I got a pretty good junior season. Didn't talk to Iowa till my senior year.
Yeah, because you were committed
Just,
to Oregon State, right?
yeah. Like
What
I had
happened?
mostly like, yeah, like it was mostly like regional, like West Coast, like Power Fives, but kind of like Cal, Oregon State. I like Nebraska and Syracuse, but nothing like big. But like my senior year was a lot like better than my junior year. So,
Okay.
and then Gary Anderson ended up leaving Oregon State like halfway through the season, my
Okay.
senior year of high school. So at that point, like was open to whatever. And then like towards the end, they had hired Jonathan Smith before I like made my decision, but it was kind of just like the states of the programs. Like, like it was high risk, high reward at Oregon State at that point. Like could be a part of a rebuild, like probably could play like pretty early, like that kind of thing. But also like, Coach Ferentz like had been there for, at that point, like whatever, 18, 19 years at that point, amongst like other reasons, right? Like that was when it was back then. It was really hot to be in. Like, if you played like I do, like you want to go to a pro style offense. Like that's critical, because that's what the league was back then. Obviously, it's like the league's changing, and it's kind of less and less like that. But yeah.
Changing in the way that everything's just like run and gun now. Like there's just like it's
I mean, more just like you, everything in the league, just like you create your offense around what your quarterback can do well. So like, it's not as important to have like, to have like called the mic point out and been in a system like Iowa's. Like there's plenty of guys that have been wildly successful in the NFL without that.
I've heard okay, so I've that's interesting that you bring that up because I've seen multiple people talking about this. Obviously, you get this past week, there's been so much Super Bowl coverage. You hear about some of it in the NFL as well. But like this concept of building your offense or building, you know, or defense for that matter, based on your personnel and what they excel at the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of interesting to me. It takes a coaching staff that's willing to do it, obviously, and who can be flexible, but it's like, it makes sense, right? Like,
yeah.
don't jam guys into a, you know, round peg square hole kind of thing.
For sure. And like, there's a ton of like variables within that. Like, I think it gets, but you don't have to change your whole system based on who you have, but just maybe like what you're going to lean on. Definitely.
Yeah. Grant, this was the point in the podcast where Kevin, who we didn't even mention, Spencer, he's not here today because he's working. Who works on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah.
This is the part, Grant, where I'm supposed to drop this like surprise. I'm running a little friend of the show, sponsorship of the show, brought to you today by kind of thing.
Mm, got it.
Damn to DSM. I don't know if I told you, Grant, but I'm running the half marathon in about 3 months.
Yeah, no, I heard about it.
And I know those people. And so the race is going to help kind of be friends of the show. They're going to set up a little Hawks by a Million bib number for anybody who wants to join and race with me. And we're supposed to drop a surprise on Kevin that they're going to donate $500 to the Children's Hospital if Kevin decides to run it with me as well.
Well, no, he has to now.
But then Kevin didn't show up to the podcast, right? It's just one of those things, right?
Yeah.
Promptness. Spencer knows all about it. Just show up to the meeting, okay? Holy shit. And maybe we'll get to some KF. By the way, your KF ordering a pizza is potential. I mean, Grant, what is that? All up, top five all-time moment of the show?
I think so, for sure.
Literally, yeah. it went berserk with our listeners and fans.
Yeah, it's very unexpected. But
anybody listening that wants to run the damn to DSM with your boy Kluber this year, use the code WASHED. Go find damnedodsm.com, code WASHED, WASHED. You're going to get 10% off the race this year and a cool Hawks by a Million bib number for the race day. We'll talk more about that as the weeks go on here. But anyway, I have a really important question, Spencer, and I wrote this down because I wouldn't have remembered it otherwise. Do you think that the Grateful Dead, their popularity could have been even greater if they didn't have an aversion to producing albums? Or do you think the fact that they're very much so a band who thrived in the live setting added novelty and a unique twist to their musical product?
Who wrote this question for you? What?
I wrote that.
I think the latter, for sure. Like, I think the reason, like, had they done more with like producing albums, they would have had more fans, but not as many. Like, the per capita, like, level of investment of each fan would have been like way less. I think that's what made them like so cool. Is like, if you, obviously, I never got to see them,
live.
You know, because Jerry died in whatever 95, but. Like, once you got into them, like, the fact that every show was like completely different and such a unique experience, and you add in the fact that, like, you know, most everyone going is taking these drugs that is going to make it even more of a great experience. Like, yeah, like all of the, like the, just the, how fun the shows must have been. 'Cause like, I mean, I don't know, like it's great going to see like concerts, but I think not only for the fans, like, or the people going, but for the artists, like, if you're just kind of like a human jukebox, like playing the same set list every show, playing it the same style, like, it's got to get old, and like, you lose just the passion behind it. I feel like, like Zach Bryan has put out his set list for his tour, which I thought was like super, like, I just like, don't know why you do that. Like, this is what every show is going to be played. Like,
feels more copy and paste. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, like, if you don't do it like that, like, if you do have the Dead do it, like, every audience feels like they got like a unique experience that they could not have gotten anywhere else. Which, like, there's definitely something to be said for that. Like, they were by the time they stopped, like, they were the biggest live, like, band in the world. Like, no one had as many fans showing up as them.
And how did Spencer Petras, born in 1999, become a Grateful Dead fan?
Like, buddies from high school. Like, so, like, they are like totally, they like grew up and were created and lived right in my county.
Yeah, they're like homegrown from your area.
I mean, like really San Francisco to start, but then like, yeah, like the two, most famous members, Bob Weir and Jerry Garcia, like both lived, like Jerry lived 5 minutes from my house. Like one of my buddies
Wow.
growing up, like lived in Jerry's old house. And then like Bob lives in Mill Valley, which is probably, like 10 miles south of where I live, but still like, in our county and stuff like that. So super like homegrown. And then it's also just fun. Like once you like listen to it and can kind of like get over like that it's probably not like anything you've ever heard, especially if you go see it live. Like there's a ton of cover bands like and stuff like that near like where we grew up. I don't know. Just like it takes a little bit of interest to start, like being willing to like, okay, this is like slow and weird, but then like once you listen and you start to like it, like it's just awesome.
And you're just a big music guy in general.
Yeah, I do love music.
We've seen you on the over the years at Iowa play the guitar. I think you even sung a couple
Yeah, I did.
times on stage at a bowl game, maybe.
Yeah, my senior year sung at the bowl game. Yeah, I had a feature for the Big Ten Network, which I regret the timing of all that, but oh well. Yeah, where I play the guitar. Yeah, I do. I love music. That was a big like COVID project. Learn how to play the guitar.
What was the game day playlist like?
Ooh, it kind of like depended. Like it was.
Did it shift? It varied?
Yeah, like very based on mood. Like if I needed to get up a little bit and wanted to be like feel more aggressive, like then I'm like a big Metallica guy.
Okay.
But especially like if like if the game the week before like hadn't gone well or something, like I'd lean more like calm like country or maybe even like I would get into like Christian music at times too. It was very variable. But yeah, I don't know. I never had like a set playlist. I would kind of just go with the
Okay.
flow.
I still have, so I'm not a music guy. We're about as opposite can be. Like when I work out to this day, it's either podcasts or just like in silence. And I'm a,
That's why I
I,
couldn't believe you
that's
asked that
insane.
question. That's why I was so shocked.
Oh, you don't think your boy does a little prep work for the podcast with Spencer
I
Petras
couldn't
coming
believe
on
you
the
were
show?
asking in-depth like Grateful Dead questions. I
I
couldn't
was up
believe
at 9:45
it.
last night trying to come up with a question that was going to make Spencer smile and not be about football. Right.
That's a good one, dude. Yeah, that's well, because like that's a lot of research. Like that's
Oh,
because
yeah.
that is exactly like what made the Dead who they were. That's a good job,
Yeah.
Clue. It's
Thank
very,
you.
very well done podcast work.
Thank you. All of our listeners right now are like, Kluber's such a fucking suck up.
I was gonna ask it too if it would if it the
I knew
opportunity
you were
arose.
gonna bring it up, Grant. So I had to at least get one good one. At the end, or really, Grant, at any point, since again, Kevin just dropped the ball massively here, just throw in any questions you have. I was gonna go back to when you showed up in Iowa City, Spencer. Right after I left, actually, me and the boys
Lived in your house
lived
for a summer.
in the front house.
Yeah, three, were we 7 or 9?
337, baby.
Yeah.
Come
Oh
on
yeah.
now.
Me, Moss, and Nico for like 2 months.
That warms my heart.
Oh
That
yeah.
warms my heart. Well, which room did you have?
Oh, okay, downstairs to the left.
So you had Kevin's room.
Yeah.
All right.
And Moss was to the right and then Nico was upstairs.
I love it. Not a great house, not old house.
No. It was fun because like Tristan and Coy and
They were in the back,
Shooter
yeah.
were in the back. Like that was a great time. But
That's what makes it a party right there.
yes.
Is the fact that you have another house in the back and it's just like, hey, anytime you just see each other all the time, it's like,
Oh
oh,
yeah. It was great. But
big.
yeah, we had like no furniture or like nothing to cook with. Like we was because we were only there for 2 months and like we were going back
Yeah.
to the dorms. So, like we couldn't really deck it out at all. So yeah, it was rough.
337. Love
Yeah.
it. You showed up in the summer of 27, 2018.
I was winter of January,
So,
early
okay.
enroll.
You were there in January because I remember when we were there for training for the pro day is the first time I saw you. I don't know if we've actually ever talked in person. I don't know if we talked at all
I don't
during
know either, actually.
that first semester, but I remember seeing you in there, getting reps in, just throwing with the guys. And it's funny, we just had Joe Evans on, and I guess he would have been in your class.
Yeah, he was like a first day of school guy,
Like
my
you,
freshman year.
Nico, him, all same class.
Yes. Yep.
So you guys have this super interesting span of your career, specifically relative to us, because it's exactly the time that we left to right now. And so much has happened in those 6 years. What do you remember about walking in for the first time and your expectations of yourself, how you felt like you fit in, all those things?
I mean, the biggest thing was like it was hard, like really hard being an early enrollee. Just because, I mean, it's like, I mean, so many reasons, but you don't come in with the rest of your class. Like you don't know that many guys. But then also like it's freezing cold and like I never lived in snow. Like that
Oh,
was
yeah.
rough. But like the guys on the team were great. Like I remember that more than anything. Like made it way easier. But yeah, like I remember it being like the first semester is pretty like easy just because like you're in Devo one, like you're not really the workouts aren't super hard, like
Goblet front squat.
yeah, and like the thing you're most stressed about is like not screwing the warm-up up
Oh,
and
yeah.
like getting like yelled at by whoever.
I was still worried about that senior year, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Oh God. Kick a hurdle in the hurdle warm up. You're like, oh no.
Yeah. No, totally. Or like, you forget like what we call each stretch and you do the wrong one and then you're an asshole.
Oh, the anxiety you're inducing in me right now. Oh my God.
Oh, dude, I remember. Yeah, like I was. Lima was there for like 2 weeks or maybe like a month, and I really remember like the first FMS day we had. Like, the FMS you had to do the one where like you're on all fours and you like it's right arm. I like couldn't do it. Like I've for whatever reason had like a mental block. Like could not figure out what he was asking and like just got my ass ripped. And like, dude, like coach, I'm really like trying. I don't know what is going on. Like this is not. I don't play football like on all fours. Like, please don't think I'm like, you get so stressed as like a freshman.
You're in your head. You're like 18 years old, like, dude, I'm trying so hard right now.
Dude, my friends are in like high school
They're going
history
to
class
prom
right
next week,
now.
and I'm
Yeah,
trying to do
dude.
this
Like,
FMS.
yeah, like, but yeah, it was good. It was good, man. It was fun.
There's a lot of discipline in the program, obviously. And it's hard for me to speak on other programs, but you just kind of get the feeling that Iowa, especially when Doyle was there, is like,
Yeah.
okay, things are done a little bit tighter around here.
For sure.
And, obviously, that was one of the major things you guys had to deal with as a class, or as, people who were there during that 2020 year, was all
Right.
that and, his whole situation. But, a lot of a big factor of Coach Doyle was like, we're going to do things right, and every little thing matters. And there are, I saw it from when I came in to, I can tell now from the outside when I see it, there's a lot of guys who struggle with that right out of high school. Was that something that was an issue for you, or were you able to just kind of like keep your head down and be like, I can do this?
Yeah, I think like, my high school coach was really pretty similar to Doyle, like
Okay.
in just from a discipline standpoint. I think like the biggest thing is you have to learn the norms. Like it's not like there's things like, okay, you have to make weight, you have to do this, you have to be on time, but then just all the rest of the stuff that like doesn't exactly get spelled out for you, like that's always gonna be hard because like you have to learn it by like observing it and probably like not doing it and then being the asshole that didn't do it.
And there's a lot of that too.
Yeah,
There's just
for sure.
too much. You just can't have a rule book that has every rule, so you just have to be observant.
For sure. Like I remember yawning when Doyle had brought it up like my first winter. Cause it's like, you're in the 6 a.m. group as a freshman. And,
You're
like I was
tired.
tired. Yeah. But like that was not okay. And then you learn, and like, okay, shit, like I got it. I can't do that. But stuff like that, yeah, that's the
You weren't allowed to yawn around Doyle.
I
So
don't think like
it's not that you weren't allowed to yawn. It's
yeah.
that if Doyle calls you up and there's a mentality and sort of an energy you're trying to bring to a workout,
Right.
and Spencer specifically, quarterback, generally looked at as like a leader of a class, stuff like that. You're standing maybe up near to the front, like, don't yawn. Don't be the big guy who like brings attention to himself who's yawning, like, oh, I'm not. It's a body language thing. It's like
Right.
you might be ready for this workout, but you're currently telling other people that you're not ready for this workout.
Right. And like I probably like hadn't like back then I probably didn't shower before workouts or like do something with my hair. Like I had way longer hair back then, so it probably looked like I had just rolled out of bed and I was like yawning. And he's like, you know, it's not how you want to present yourself.
It's like in the workplace, same thing.
Right, exactly.
You step into a meeting and you know you're about to give like a presentation and that your hair is messed up and you're yawning. It's like, it's just one of those kind of things.
Exactly.
I know there's some people on the outside that are going to hear that and be like, wow, that is like dictatorship, but it's not that way.
It makes sense. I mean, you, especially
Well,
when you
yeah.
explain it like a you wouldn't give a like you wouldn't go to a work meeting.
That's yeah, that's the best way to say it.
For sure. And like, I mean, I feel like you get used, I mean, you get so accustomed to it, like it, I wouldn't accept it any other way. Like I wouldn't, you see some freshman that like just doesn't look put together. Not even like just, you know, there's just like little things you can do to show like how much you are invested. Like, and when you don't do that, like, and if you don't do that in a culture of like that being what we do, like it stands out. So, like I loved it. Yeah.
I did too. I'm pretty on record about how much Doyle meant to my career and life. That stuff happens in the summer of 2020, coinciding with the year that you take over as starting quarterback, like sort of a leader position on the team, to say the least. And from the outside, I don't know if I ever felt like things were going to crack, but it felt shaky. Like it was a moment in the program, obviously. From the inside, especially a guy who's now in a leadership role, how visceral was that summer? I mean, it was. My brother told me about the meeting, you know, the info. I mean, it just sounded, everything was very heavy. And it felt like, and maybe you didn't feel this at the time, you're just doing your best. You wake up, go in, be a guy that leads other men. But it was like, man, from the outside, we need guys who are in there that are going to like step up and like keep this thing together. Obviously, KF is a rock at the top. He's pretty good at that. He's been around for a while.
No
And
doubt.
other guys have talked about that, but it w was there ever some moments where it was like, we got to steady the ship here.
Yeah, I mean, so like the biggest thing I think was like, you know, the vibe like on the leadership like council that year, like once all that, once everything went down was like, okay, like the things that were brought to attention, like that we, you know, that we talked about, you know, repeatedly, and that, you know, some people had issues with, like, if we're gonna say that that's an issue, then like the onus now is on the players to hold each other to the like standards that we deem important. And I think like especially with like we all like no one, and we were all like pretty like we felt like Ray was in just a tough spot too. Like it was just a
Tough.
weird like thing. So I think like the leadership that year was really strong just because it's like, yeah, like if I mean a lot of things like that, you know, people had issues with was just Doyle like holding guys to like a championship level standard. And
Yeah.
if we are gonna not do that anymore, like it's up to the leadership group, it's up to, I mean, the whole team to now make sure that same stuff is, you know, preached and like held accountable, like stuff like that. So we were aware of it, and like we talked about it at length, like, and I think it helped our team for sure. Because yeah, like I mean the best teams, right, are the ones where players are the driving force behind accountability. And there was a big vacuum there, like once all that went down. So like the players definitely had to step up, I think, and like do more.
You guys had probably an unprecedented amount of power in the program.
Yeah, for sure.
And in a moment like that, the guys who are in charge, meaning you, other seniors, leadership group, are never more important.
For sure.
Because if you have the wrong guys in charge, things can go other directions.
No
And
doubt.
I think back to 2014. We had some guys in charge who that standard of excellence, it might have, the line might have got real curvy. And then I think about years like 2015, where We had guys like Drew Ott and Austin Blythe at the top. And there was, I won't name who, there was some freshmen, some young guys who during the Hawkeye Championship in the offseason were in tears because they let those captains down.
Right.
Because the standards had been set. The captains relayed those standards and expectations to the young guys. And the young guys accepted those things as important and crucial to the development of the team and how good they were going to be. And they cared so much that these guys were literally in tears because they, missed weight 1 week or something like that,
Right.
And so if you don't have guys like you, and I'm sure Nico and Lindy and all these other guys that we know in place, the program, it wasn't 100%, and 100% of programs would not find their way out of that. And so I'm glad that we had guys like you there. And I don't know you personally, but from what I can tell and from what I've heard of other people, pretty damn good leader. And as an
Thanks.
alum, I like appreciate that,
Yeah, and like we were still young. Like it was mostly, like Keith Duncan's like seen that was his senior year. Like
Dunk,
guys
yep.
like Keith, I remember vividly like being critical on offense. Like Lindy was a big because he was my class, but he had actually played, so like he was huge. But then guys like Nick Neiman, Chauncey, like there's a lot of like really good just guys in that class. Yeah, like to where you had to, yeah, it was definitely just like different. Like it was a little unheard of, what went down. But yeah, some like because I mean, dude, like we all like you know it when you feel it, like we all have the same goal of like that level of like buy-in. Like it's the most special and just incredible feeling in the world, like when a team can all be there, like that mindset, like towards the common goal. And yeah, like that's part of it too. Like the Hawkeye Championship just being in place, like I think helped us so much that year because like there was a really, it was a smooth transition of like delegating leadership and like making sure that there were things in place to like keep guys accountable and stuff like that. But I totally agree that like I think 99% of programs would have completely flopped like at that point, because there was just a lot going on.
A lot. It's a
Not to mention
lot.
COVID. Like we hadn't
You're
our
right.
first day back in the building. It was our first day back in the building was
I
that
know.
like big meeting.
I know.
But yeah, no, that was definitely like a pretty like it was cool what we did with that year.
And it showed. Like, first two games a little shaky. And then you guys rattle off six. And unfortunately, I think it would have been eight, but we had
I know.
was like, who did you not play at the end of the year? And then
Michigan and Missouri.
Missouri. And I think, and we were, I mean, you guys were, not to use a KFism, but we were humming okay at the end of that 2020 year. Had those guys
Oh,
humming.
sure.
Oh.
No, yeah, I mean, and like obviously the worst thing to say in sports is like should have or would have or
Yeah.
whatever, but like just that Northwestern game, like because they won the West and they won the West because they beat us, right? And like no way to prove it, no way to back it up, but like that year, like had we gone to Indy, like I think we would have had a real good shot. Like we were humming, like both all three phases. Like it was a great fun year.
Yeah. Come back for a year two as a starter in 2021. And let's see, this is the year. I think this is the year that Riley
Yep, opens it up with two pick sixes.
against like a top five pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, crazy.
Penix has had a wild career arc as well. But yeah, you guys, I mean, you guys are crushing. And you have the sort of a magical run to the like up to that Penn State game, which the cheesiest question I could ask as the host here is like, "Hey Spencer, can you give me your top three moments as a Hawkeye?" I got to imagine when Nico catches that ball and runs it in, that's high on the list.
Yeah, that was definitely up there. That was super fun. Just how the game was going too, like, because it was such a like choppy, like, because like we're down 17-3, like we went on a nice drive like right before half, score a touchdown, so now it's 17-10 or whatever. But then like the rest of the game was like we'd have a couple first downs, then like punt, or we'd get good field position, like have a couple first downs, but then stall, kick a field goal. So it was like super choppy. And to finally like just kind of break through in that moment, like to just we got him, like we had the exact look we wanted, exact play call, like they were not ready for it. And yeah, dude, that was just
So
great. This
I've
might be
been
a
part. Go
I
for
was
it.
gonna say this might be another dumb question, but when they call that, did you know beforehand, like, oh, this is gonna be the sickest thing of all time?
Well, no, like we were. The problem with that play, like without getting too like nerdy about it, is like you have to have probably like one of two coverages, preferably like you need cover four to the field. So like the biggest thing, like, because we had it in our pocket the whole game, like we were waiting to call it. But that game, I don't know the exact number, but I feel like they're pressuring like 50, it felt like 50, 60% of the time. Like, so when they pressure, it's not cover four. Like teams don't do that. And so it's just like waiting for the right time, because it's just for against Penn State too, like hard to get a tell like pre-snap on if they're gonna blitz or not. Like, but I think we finally had it, like P10 of football, like first snap of possession. Like a lot of coordinators will have pretty strong tendencies on defense, and I think we finally got it, like, they're like 80% quarters on P10 right now. So I think like once we knew that, like Brian called it. And yeah, I mean, obviously like they had to kind of fall for the double move, but they did. So yeah, that was awesome.
I only got to really be in on one offensive play in my career, but there was a similar sort of feeling to the Polecat when that. It's one of those where you're like, you go to the line, and you're just hoping like that we can get this thing snapped,
Oh yeah.
and you know.
Just sucks, because it sucks, like like that play, for example. Yeah, like if you show the formation and then they're not in the right look and you have to burn the timeout, like now like that play's dead regardless,
Yeah.
because this is the, like they have a fake like this, let's make sure we're covered down or whatever.
Right.
But it's the same thing, like it was a double move like to Nico, and like if they weren't in this coverage, like, and I didn't spot it pre-snap and check out of it, like now we run it against a shitty coverage and it's not good and we burned it. And in that game especially, like we needed a chunk play, we needed an explosive play. And so yeah, shoot, it was definitely big time that they cooperated.
I don't know. Obviously, I've been in Kinnick for a few loud moments, but I was in the stands for that game. I was in attendance. And I don't know if it's been louder than that, man. It was loud, bro.
Yeah.
It went nuts.
I honestly don't have any, like I kind of blacked out. Like I don't remember.
Yeah, I totally
My memory of
understand
that is so bad, but
that.
I do remember it being fun.
I'm pretty excited to hopefully we can get Nico to agree to come on, and he might have blacked out as well, but I have to
I'm
ask him
sure he
about
did.
it.
Yeah.
What an effort by him too to get in the end zone,
Oh
right?
yeah.
Like not just a walk-in because he's got a guy hawking him.
Should have been, yeah. Well, dude, because I roll out and like I don't see anyone within 30 yards of him. So you know how it is. That's like your
Oh
first
yeah.
thing is like, all right, dude, like just get him the damn ball. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then poor Nico, because and the thing about Nico too, like we joked forever because it felt like for so long, like because there was at least like probably three or four of them when Nate in 19, and like I did it to him a couple times where he would always be like open, usually like in the seam, but he'd be so open, like me and Nate would both underthrow him, and he'd end up getting tackled at like the three. So like Brian would joke all the time, like you just love, like Nico, you just love sending like the big guys out, like the big personnel group out to just punch it in. So yeah, dude, like we were all like, it's like as soon as you see him, like, oh
Gosh.
shit, like this is gonna slow him down. Like if he gets hawked down, I'm gonna feel like the biggest asshole in the world. Like da 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 da. but he made it, dude. He made it.
Oh, we did. It was magical. And the defense obviously lights out. They're always lights out.
Yeah, they're balling.
Do you believe in I guess believe. What is your opinion on a letdown game? Because then that next week, the next 2 weeks, I think, you guys lose
Yeah.
Purdue and then Wisconsin in a row. Was that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it was correct. Yeah,
Can
with a
you
bye in the middle is tough.
explain to me? I don't, the way I've tried to explain it is there's so many factors that go into a football game, not just 11 guys, but the 1 million decisions that every guy on the field has to make. Like this idea of like this emotional letdown is the reason that teams lose games. 'Cause you know, the layman out there says, oh, they just had this huge win against Penn State that week. That's why, you know, they were still celebrating when they went to play Purdue the night. Like, you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that could be a very real thing at other places. But I mean, clue, like, you know, like with Coach Ferentz, like, I swear to God, by Wednesday of every week, if you're playing an inferior opponent, he has you thinking that you're going to lose.
It's unbelievable.
And if you're playing like the best team in the Big Ten, like, he has you thinking you're going to whoop their ass.
People don't get it, man.
Yeah, so like, I don't believe in that, at least like at Iowa. Like, I don't think Coach Ferentz, like, because he's, you know how he is. Like, there's some motivating stuff like that he does that is pretty incredible. But I would say it all the time. Like, we'd be playing, like, you know, he played like Rutgers back in the day, like when they were just awful, you know. And it's like by the Wednesday team meeting, you're like, dude, like, what do you say? Like, they're like second in rush. Like, they're gonna whoop our ass if we don't like show up. Like, shit, like, we gotta really lock in, you know. Like, it was like without fail, bro. Like, group of five teams, like, doesn't matter. Like,
You're so spot on.
like, yeah, whatever the vibe should be, it's the complete opposite.
We're playing, dude, you're so spot on. God, it takes me
Yeah,
back.
because like, and then you're playing a group of five team, and you know that you should like beat pretty well, and he'll pull up like film from like 2011, like whatever the year was. Was it it was the Orange Bowl year when, like, you know, we had to block two field goals to beat, like,
You and
who was it,
I.
you and I? Yeah,
Yeah.
like, he'll just do stuff like that, and it's like, and this
That one
team's a hell of a lot
without,
better.
dude, that one
Yeah,
without fail, man. That one came out once a year at least. We play
every
Western
time.
Michigan and
Oh yeah.
we play Western Michigan. He pulls up tape from like 2006. He's like, now these guys, they run a lot of the same concepts they did in 2006. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want you to watch this drive right here. No one can stop him worth a shit.
Right.
Okay. This guy's gonna be running up and down the field. You're just sitting in your seat like, God, is Coach Ferentz worried about this?
Right.
We better step this up.
Or like, he'll always do like the North Dakota State game with like CJ and George like didn't connect in practice on a play, and then
And
like
then they
the same
missed
thing
it down the
happened
sideline.
in the game, and like, that's a big one for sure. Yeah, dude. I mean, he just has a way of getting you like in the right headspace.
Yeah, we talk forever. I want to get to eventually where you're at right now. Where I want to go with this next is probably the most intriguing part of you to me. I don't know about anybody else, but this is my podcast, so I'll ask the questions. Man, I don't know if I've ever seen someone take as much heat as you. Spencer, I'm talking ever, dude. How? Go back to Coach Ferentz. Very great at the whole don't listen to the noise, don't listen to all the outside stuff. Every year in college football, as it changes, it's harder and harder to block out the outside noise. I mean, all there is noise on the outside.
Right.
I joked with Coach Ferentz the first time I saw him after we started the podcast. I'm like, hey, Coach, nice to see you. We became the fucking noise. That's what the walk-ons are now. And, especially as a quarterback, leader of the team, leader of the offense, how much Twitter, radio, news articles did you allow yourself to ever even see as the starting quarterback of the Iowa Hawkeyes? And like, what was your experience? I know at one point, was it a bowl game or something, you had said something like, hey, dude, my mom reads these things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what was that experience like for you?
You know, I think it gets like it gets easier as you go.
Sure.
Like I was actually just talking to someone about it, like how I would verbalize it like this, like, when you're like before you've played like at the level that we played at, like there's a, there's a part of you, like could be big, could be small, that like got into football because you love football, a little part of you, for like the glory of it all. And like for like you want to be the quarterback of the start of the Super Bowl champion team, like
Yeah.
obviously, right? Because like that's awesome. And so I think like until you go through, right, like go through a tough one, and and there is all that like negativity, like you don't really fully grasp like how just like how unimportant it is. Like, because we, you can talk about like ignoring the noise and all that, and it's like you hear it and like you believe the people that say it, but like until you go through it, like you can't really fully understand it. But then like once you do, it gets like easier, because like I remember, it's funny, it's like it's circular, like, right, like time or whatever the saying is. But I remember like on the flight back from Penn State my freshman year, right, I'm sitting next to Nate,
Tough
and
game, tough
rough
game.
game, yeah, just brutal, right? Like, Nate didn't play his best, and then he hit his thumb on a helmet and like couldn't grip the damn ball. Like, it was just a tough deal. I remember we land, and we land. He takes his phone out of airplane mode, and I start seeing like notification, all this stuff popping up, and I see him like reading it. And I remember being like, "Dude, like Nate, like what are you doing?" Like, I remember being like, "Dude, like stop, come on, like cut that out, right? Freshman me." And he does, right? He's like, "Yeah, you're right. Like, deletes it all, blah blah blah." Then like fast forward, I remember vividly my first start, right? We lose to Purdue. And same thing, flight home. I'm sitting next to Padilla at this point. We land, I take my phone in airplane mode. I'm getting like all these Instagram DMs, like all these notifications, and like I'm sitting there reading it. And Padilla goes like, "Bro, like, what are you doing? Like, stop that." Same shit.
You had
My point
become Nate
being,
Stanley.
yeah, like my point, like just until like you realize it, and like especially you realize, like especially when you go through a tough one and you're in such like a vulnerable like headspace of like, God, like that sucked, you don't realize how like toxic that shit is. And then
Oh.
but then once you do, it gets so much easier to just like, yeah, like I'm not, like Instagram and Twitter are off my phone, like I'm not on it.
To this day, you don't know.
No, I do now.
Okay.
And I would like in the off seasons, but like I remember my senior year, I had Twitter. Like Twitter was off because Twitter was like the worst.
Oh, dude, it's so bad, brother.
But my senior year, I remember being like, I think I can go through this year with Instagram. Like I have high expectations for this season. I remember vividly, we won the game, but South Dakota State was just a it was a rough one,
Oh, baby.
for your boy. I remember vividly, like, after we do everything and I get on my phone, first thing I do is like delete the app, like as soon as you get in, right? Like, and I think that's part of just like maturing and going through it. Like you get used to dealing with it. And
Isn't it wild how you'll see, and to a much lesser extent, I didn't have to deal with anything you did, especially during my playing career, fortunately. But funny enough, now I deal with it more because I'm an account. I'm a
you're the noise,
personality.
man. Yeah.
I am the noise, right? And I hate it. I love it at the same time. But we'll put out a podcast, we'll come out with some opinion or whatever, and I it's the same thing. Like I'll read some of the message boards that get sent to me. Fans of our show will be like, "Hey, this person's talking crap," and I'll get in there and read it. People are like, "Yeah, they're a hot take podcast. They're washed up long snapper still trying to search for relevancy, like all this stuff." And I'm like, I'll sit there for a second and be like, "Is this guy right? Like, am I just trying to be re like it, yeah, like it." And I'll start believing these people who are like behind anonymous accounts. It's like the same thing. I'm sure at quarterback, you're sitting there like, Joe 1746 XYT said that
Right.
I'm ass at quarterback. Man, maybe he's. And you're like, but I don't even know this guy. Like he does.
Right.
Joe anonymous account probably doesn't even know what a trap play is. He doesn't know what an outside zone is, let alone advanced concepts in an offensive scheme or anything that you know. But you start to believe that shit and you're like, man, this social media thing is really wild.
For sure. Yeah, and I think like until that part of you dies that
Yeah.
cares about
You
that,
have to kill
like
it. You have to kill that part of you.
yeah. Or it'll get killed. Like it'll get beaten out of you at some point, but then I think at a certain point like you realize like I make podcasts because I enjoy doing it
Sure,
and
yeah.
it brings me like joy, like whatever. Like I play football because I love the feeling of being with my teammates after a win. I love the feeling of like compete, like whatever it is. Like once the part's out of you that cares about that shit, it gets, I feel like you just get more secure in like your why.
Huge.
Because yeah, you can say your why is this and that, but there's a point where it, you know, your why will get tested and then
What's really cool about
yeah.
that too is as you get older, and maybe this is because I have a kid now and I'm married and all this stuff, but I don't know. Like maturing, psychologically, like mentally, is like a real thing and something that's like tangible to me over the last decade, specifically since like I entered the University of Iowa till where I'm at right now. And you have these like rainbow moments of like, oh my God, I actually don't care. I don't care what that person's, I don't care what people think of me. I don't care what, you know, and you still value opinions of some people, but like the person you never have met on Twitter behind an anonymous, like you can literally, you start to push that away like very easily. And when you do feel that, it's very freeing. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
I went and we did several times, but there have, I've wanted to destroy people on social media because of things they've said to you about other guys on the team. It's like hard as a former player to see it as well. It's like, God, dude, like,
Right.
come on. And you just can't get involved in it. It's like, it's unbelievable. So obviously Drake's not here as well. He's a part of this podcast in some form or
For
fashion.
sure.
The whole Brian stuff this past year, not his favorite stuff, as you can
Right,
imagine.
right.
I told him we were gonna have you, and in Drake fashion, he sent his question in something along the lines of, "This is the only thing I want you to ask him. Ask him if the if Brian doesn't know what he's talking about, and if the team is better without him. I don't want you to answer that question because I'm not trying to get you in trouble." But just to segue into Brian, we can talk about all the shit that went down this year. You were in a really interesting sort of spot this year. Could you explain that spot as like injury to what was your title this year and to now where you're like in Utah right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So could you like give me timeline quick injury? What was the injury?
Yep, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nebraska game my senior year. I tear my labrum, my rotator cuff, and my posterior capsule, I think, which is like some connective tissue, like on the humerus, I guess. But so I tear all three.
Did you know it right away?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was jacked up. It didn't really hurt that bad. It's just like I went to go throw on the sideline and it felt like my shoulder would like slip to like my hip. So at that point, I was like, yeah, like I'm, you know, I'm done.
Alex, warm up.
Yeah. But yeah. So obviously, like, didn't know at first how severe it would be. But then once we got the MRI and like, okay, I have to have surgery. At that point, it was just like really tough because, you know, obviously, like, had a COVID year, knew, you know, minimum and really minimum just for like a labrum is like 6 months. And then you incorporate like the other two things. Like, there's been guys that have never come back and thrown like after this. So it was like really had no idea like what to do.
Because you still wanted to play. You wanted to use that year.
And then obviously like you know at that point like we were bringing Kate in.
Right.
I also didn't like love the idea of trying to go somewhere and be like cleared in August or September and try and play that fall, right? Like that doesn't sound, and that was at best, right? Like if things went perfectly, like I'm looking at being fully good by probably like week one, right? So like not just not a super scenario. And like I'm gonna get into coaching when I'm done playing. So at that point, it was like, let me stay here, and I was on the roster, but I wasn't like working out with the team. Like I was working upstairs at that point, and just doing like miscellaneous stuff.
Cool.
And then like reassess in May. Like in May, if I feel good and want to like transfer, like I'll do that. If I don't and it feels horrible, like I'll call it and try and get a job or like whatever. And then of course, get to May and like I'm throwing, but it's not, I'm throwing 20 yards, right? Like I'm not throwing and it's still really painful.
Let me stop you there. And the fans are just like Kluber, let him talk. I just want to know, like, where are you at mentally at this point? Like, is that tough? Is
From
that
a,
freaking tough?
oh, oh yeah, it
Like
was brutal.
you go to throw in May. It's been 6 months since your injury, longer.
Right.
Almost, well, yeah, just over 6 months.
Yeah.
And you go to throw and like and you got 20 yards in you. You know?
Right.
Like, is that
Yeah. It was just hard because like, I mean, you know how it is. Like I feel like most of us, like you're such a, like, I'm such like a type, like I need to be doing something and working towards something. And like being in limbo of like of not knowing where to put all of my like chips and like all of my attention and like focus was hard. Just 'cause like and like dude, like just the overthinking of like, okay, like well what if in like December like I'm back and throwing, but I'm in pain every time I throw.
Yeah.
Like now then what do I do? Or what if it, just all the stuff that can go through your head, with any injury, but I think just the timing especially. That was definitely hard. And like it felt like every other week, like I would like 1 week I'd be like, oh, like I'm gonna come back and I'll go play somewhere and it'll be great. And then the next week I'd be like, dude, like this isn't gonna happen. Like I should just go find, try and find a GA job somewhere. Like stuff like that would just go through my head a lot. And really like that level of like uncertainty kind of went until like October probably.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean at a certain point like I started to feel really good and probably like towards November, mid-November, like I had a little bit of pain throwing but not much, and I had basically my full arm back and got really fired up about it and went back in, all in on playing again. But yeah, like my role, I think like in July, like I just worked for Brian. So like my title was a non-student football assistant.
Elite,
Yeah.
elite title.
Didn't have to take classes, which was cool.
Oh.
But yeah, like I would do my rehab and workout or throwing like every day, but then the rest of the time, like I was, functioning as a GA. Like obviously
Yeah.
I was not a GA. And it wasn't in school, but I was doing the work like that. So,
Let me ask you this. You're getting into coaching. And so you are going to be eventually very well versed in this, but even as a player, you get a sense of it. It's like, the guys in the NFL, they always talk about how it's a business, right? And with the amount of money in college sports, it's a business, you know?
Right.
How weird was that to be the quarterback for the Iowa Hawkeyes for 3 years, have this injury where like, if everything is perfect and God sends me a miracle, I'm going to be good day one of the season.
Right.
But the program doesn't stop for Spencer Petras or anybody, right?
Right.
And so they have to go out and utilize the transfer portal and NIL money, and they go and get Cade, right? Obviously, the blockbuster guy of unfortunately, he ends up getting hurt last year. But until then, he's like, oh, we're bringing in Cade McNamara. He's a savior, whatever. But that's like Spencer Petras' spot, right? Like, you're the guy 3 years before that. You still have a year left. But you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
How did you reconcile that in your brain?
I think once I got the diagnosis of like the, like how bad it like what all tore and like how bad it was, and Dr. Wolf, sharing how there's some guys that never come back from this, and Cam Newton's a good example of came back but was never the same, right? Like stuff like that. I think once I heard that, there was no part of me that was upset about them grabbing someone, because 2022 was a critical year for our offense, and it did not go well. And then 2023 was even more critical, right? Like it was, end up being do or die, right? And I would not have banked on my ability to, me banking on myself was not, I wasn't banking on myself to come back and be able to play.
So you understood, especially with the medical side of things, like it's hard for me to count on myself right now. It'd be really hard for the team to count on me, you know?
Grown men with families that this is their livelihood,
Pays their
right?
pay, yeah, pays for their dinner.
I like to think I'm, I was rational about it.
Cool.
I mean, it did make it like e like it obviously was like there was a part of me that was hard.
Yeah.
But it evidently, it was at the end of the day my decision to stay with the team and like be a, be there and like
Which is so, it's so cool, dude. Like, I swear, like from the outside, like to see you step into the position you were and like be on the sideline this year and help the guys. Like, I know in your mind, you're just like 24-year-old. Like, I just want to, you know, this is me doing the most I can. Like, you don't think this is cool, but it's like 29-year-old washed up dad long snapper. I'm like, fuck, dude, that's so sick. Like, he's such a team guy. Like, it's so cool to see you out there. It really was.
Well, I think it was really honestly like more cool that they let it happen, like just because, and they on like we honestly like they did it, Brian and Coach Ferentz, I think did a great job of like managing the situation, just because like obviously like it's probably better at least at first for the program to like for me to like have some space from it all, because like I'm not the quarterback anymore. And like I just think that they were it was pretty like commendable to like let me, because it was totally selfish too, like right, like I wanted to be there because it was going to be great for my future coaching career, but like mostly because I needed to rehab and I needed to like get healthy, and if I went anywhere else it would have been, I don't know what would have happened. So like it was really just like Coach Ferentz was just awesome for letting that all happen. And
Shocked.
but no, it was just great. Like it was, they allowed me to like kind of do exactly what I wanted to. And I mean, like I was working, like I wasn't freeloading.
Sure. Yeah, you were actually
But
doing important stuff.
yeah, but like they allowed it to happen, which was great.
So, with your interest in coaching and obviously your time as a player and now this year, how describe to me Brian Ferentz and your relationship. What does he mean to you? Or is it
I
impossible?
mean, yeah, it's hard to, not to sound cheesy, it's hard to put into words, I guess. But he is, if not the biggest, he is on top two, top three biggest like mentor in my life. And I, cool part of like the past year, like I consider him a friend at this point too. But the amount of things he's taught me, from football to personal life to even other things too, like more than just that, but and just like how much he's helped me through personally. I mean he's the best. He's a lovely guy.
Tough when that decision comes down in October, obviously. Season finishes. You're now in Utah. It comes out that you're transferring to Utah State, which we played Utah State, didn't we?
We did. We won.
Kind of a unique scenario. How's the shoulder feel now? How are we doing? You said, I think you texted me right before this that workouts ran a little long, so you're working out.
Yeah,
How do
pedal
we feel?
throwing this
How do we
morning.
feel physically? It's 24-year-old. I mean, you actually, I looked on your in the small amount of research I did, you and my wife have the same birthday. So
Whoa, Scorpio.
Yeah, so you're gonna be 25 this year.
Yeah.
Gosh, how's the old body feel?
Honestly, yeah, like the funny part is like my shoulder feels like the best of everything else.
Let's go.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. Shoulder feels great. The biggest thing is like here the running is way different than it was at Iowa. Just because we play at a really fast
Oh
tempo. So
yeah,
like
they're
we'll do like volume wise, like right now is pretty comparable to a summer at Iowa.
Whoa.
Which the past year, like I was doing speed work. I was not conditioning because in my head it was like, what am I conditioning for right now?
Right.
So I've got, I mean, I'm doing the workouts just fine. It's just, you know how it is. Like, dang, like I feel shin splints coming on, or like my,
I want to
yeah, like all that kind of
throw up.
stuff is, it's just different
Yeah.
because, you have to train with for how you want to win.
Right.
And, we try and win here in a different way than we do at Iowa.
Sure.
So that's definitely been the biggest thing. Like, our lifts are like 40 minutes, 45 minutes, like kind of in out, like explosive movements, but like, cause I live with the skills here. So like the lifts are like intensity, like they're just a lot different and
Yeah.
they're
You're
not.
training, specifically for what you're going to do on the field versus what you were doing on the field.
Right. Yeah. Whereas like Tuesdays and Fridays here are, like four quarter equivalent, and that's
Oh,
just,
that
yeah, it's
hurts.
definitely different. Yeah.
That
Yeah.
hurts.
Especially the altitude gets to you.
Well, we've already taken way too much of your time, but I appreciate you coming on the show today. I'm gonna let Grant ask a couple questions because I just let him sit here and be quiet, and people are like, let's let Grant ask some questions. But what a story, man. I wish you all the success for your last year, and
Thank you.
I'm glad you were a Hawk.
Me too. Me too, man. Nothing like it.
Iowa City's pretty cool. Grant, you got anything?
Well, I don't want to take too much of your time. I mean, you've given us a lot and a lot of good questions, but I also don't want to hammer on the Grateful Dead stuff too much, but I feel like you might be the only guest I can ever ask about that, really. So,
Probably.
like, what level are you on? Like, are you a fan of like, do you have like a favorite Althea or something, or are you just like I'm kind of like
Ooh,
I'm a Grateful Dead
yeah.
fan, right? But I'm kind of in the middle where, like, I go to a show over the summer, and there's a lady who's like, "Oh, this is my 160th show I've been to." And it's like, well, I'm
Yeah.
not on the fan base is unique in a sense that it's like, oh, like they have this insane level of fans, but there's also like a lot of people who are in the middle, kind of like me. So I'm curious where you're at.
Yeah. I definitely have like favorite. There's a few songs. Like there is an Althea that I actually that is my favorite.
Oh, see,
Gosh,
look
I
at
don't
this
remember
stuff.
when the hell it is, but the vocals are like sweet.
See, I love to hear that, man. That's awesome.
But yeah, I think it's impossible for people like our age to be at the level that some deadheads were at our age, just because
Right.
like,
You haven't taken enough drugs.
well, yeah, that for
Or
sure.
kinda, but
And then, well, just like Dead & Co tickets are like I've been to one. I saw him at Wrigley this past summer.
wow.
It's like $300 for a ticket. It's not
Okay.
like the old days, like when
You could just,
people
if
could.
you waited outside long enough, you could get
Yeah,
one.
like you got
Those
in,
are
right? Like it's,
Caitlin Clark prices.
yeah, like seriously. So yeah, but no, like I do love them, and I think it's cool. Like with John Mayer, especially, like a lot of people love to,
Yeah.
some people don't like him, I guess, but I love it because, like, especially the last couple of years, I feel like he's added his own like flares to a lot of the
Yeah.
songs, like that. Similar to how like they were back in the day, like when every performance of the song was different. Like I feel like that's been super cool, like at least for guys like our age to see, because like, we got to it's a taste of what the Dead were like back in the day. But yeah, I've been to one show. I have not been to 150 like some people.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I've only been like I went to one over the summer. It's
Yeah.
probably my first, and I thought last. Are you going to use a little NIL money though? Or are you going to go this sphere?
Dude, I'm trying. It's not the tickets. It's just like Vegas, like hotels and stuff, which are really hard. But I'm trying. I have not bought. I was on the like pre-list or whatever. Like I tried, but I have not. I have not got tickets yet. I'm gonna
Yeah.
try.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going through the same battle right now. I'm like, okay,
I
do
can
I
see the
either?
turmoil in your face, Spencer. You're like, I just
Yeah.
gotta get this done. Like, I gotta find a
Dude, it's just
way.
like, I mean, you're looking at a minimum like grand, like for
Ugh.
flights, ticket,
Yeah.
hotel, like
It's a
it's just
commitment.
tough. It's tough.
So,
Yeah.
yeah. And then my last question then for you is going to be, when did you first realize you were a master of Kirk Ferentz impressions?
Dude, I don't really know. I've always been like I'm pretty good at impressions, like typically.
Oh, what are your other ones?
Oh,
Now I have
I
to
got a
know.
lot. No,
I've
I
well, I this is actually, I'm glad you said that, Grant, because this brings up the fact that every time I heard you talk in an interview, Spencer, and I don't know if it's because of your time around them, but dude, you started to sound like Brian. You sound
Yeah.
like Brian to me, especially if you like play into it. Like,
Yeah.
holy shit, all right?
Yeah, I've been told that a lot. I think part of that we both kind of have like naturally like higher like my I don't have Johnny Cash's like voice and neither does Brian. I think that probably adds to it.
There's a rasp to it too.
Yeah, and then I think I like have picked up on kind of the filler words that maybe Brian
Yeah.
uses just from being around him so much.
Of course.
But yeah, no, like I yeah, I've got that a bunch of times that I sound like Brian.
Awesome. One thing people don't know about Riley Moss that they need to know.
Oh, geez. Dude, that's a Pandora's box.
Yeah, I was gonna say. You don't have to answer.
Well,
I just thought maybe.
he's at the waste management right now.
Yeah.
Which looks awesome. One thing about him, I don't know, dude. I've never met someone that plays like more Call of Duty than him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like a, and that's, I mean, there's a lot of dudes that play a lot of COD.
There it
He's up
sure is.
there. Also, no, there's not many guys that like, whenever you're up for like a good time, whatever that is, like he is always in.
He's in.
He is your night maker. Like, you know what, dude? Like, I wanna go have some fun. Like, Riles, like, let's go grab a beer or like whatever. Like, he's like,
That's
oh,
it.
let's go. You know,
That's it. That's the t-shirt, Riley Moss, Nightmaker.
yeah. Which honestly, you could probably tell by the way he
Well, yeah.
holds himself. But yeah, he's a good dude.
He's a
Definitely
good
have
dude.
not missed living with him, honestly. I'm sure I will in like, you know, 6 more months
Yeah, give
probably.
it some time. You will.
But yeah, he's a loud dude. He's a great guy, but he can wear on you a little bit at times.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for your time today.
Dude, of course. It's been good. It's been good, man. I was you know, part of me it was like, you know, because I'm pretty close to the guys men on Melrose, you know. So like there's a part of me that, you know,
Well,
I had to clear it with them, make sure they were cool, but you know, they gave me their grace, so
they I won't get into it. We shit on Cooper way too much at one point on the show, and eventually got to be like, this isn't, we're not like in the locker room anymore. So that people probably think we actually don't like Cooper when we have no
Yeah.
issue with him. And
Well,
then I went to like, this is like some real inside baseball stuff. So then I went and saw Torrey at a Duncan kicking camp. We did a kicking camp,
okay.
and
Yeah.
Gersonde was there, and I was like, Torrey, we can't wait to have you on the podcast. And he, after, and he's like, nah, fuck you guys. Like, he's like, I'm a men on Melrose guy. And I was
No,
like,
clue. What had happened? Word had gotten around our group chat. Because like we have this big group chat of guys we played with
sure.
of like Tori, Kersande, Coop, like you know, Nico, Lindy, all these guys. Well, you guys had made a comment about them leading the swarm out their senior year, about Max and Ryan being at the front of the swarm.
Yeah.
And it coincided with, I'm not gonna name names, but someone on staff at Iowa also saying something about that, about them specifically.
Oh.
And so it opened up this whole Pandora's box of like,
Shit.
wow, like you know, none of the guys had a problem with it. Like we,
Yeah. And
you know what I mean? Like,
that's all that matters, right?
right.
We don't
And
matter anymore. Like
right.
we're the noise, right? We say some We say
You either
some
die a
dumb shit on a
player.
microphone, right?
You either die a player or you live long enough to see yourself become the noise.
And
And
I've
it
done it.
happens. But I mean, to be fair, it's not like if you're going to pick the most intimidating guys to lead us out, you're not picking Coop or Ryan.
And
Like, absolutely.
that's what we said, and then we took it too far, I think.
But yeah, because at the same time, like if two glue guys from when you were playing were at the front of the swarm, you wouldn't bat an eye, right? As long as they're seniors, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that was, looking back, I don't regret that we said it, but I think that to the extent that we like brought it up again at some point, we're like, yeah, that was. I think I even cringed when maybe Drake said it at one point. I was like, "Oh, that's maybe fucked up a little bit." But and it's true. Like when you're on the inside, it's you guys against the world, right?
Right.
And I'm not,
You don't even notice.
and we're the walk-ons, like not on the inside anymore. So it's fuck us too. And
For
I get
sure.
it. I get it. And I totally understand. So I hope that those guys don't have any ill will because I have nothing against any of them. But I'm glad that you guys came on and or that you came on. Hopefully we can get Tori
Absolutely.
on. And like I said, man, hope this year is everything that it can be as far as what you have potential in you. And
Thank you.
I think there's a lot of Hawk fans I've already seen, and I know I will be tuning in from afar. So we appreciate
Appreciate
you.
it, man. Yeah, I'm excited. It'll be fun.
Everybody who listened to the podcast, thank you for tuning into this episode. We'll be back again on Thursday, hopefully with another guest. I don't know if we'll have somebody or not. Hope you enjoyed Spencer. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.